Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robust, just periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, hold on to your bare bodkin, Tammy, because you're listening to the Inexplicable Dumb Show with your host, John Malden!
Hi, and welcome to episode 242 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden. This week I have joining me Denise Hicks, artistic director of the Nashville Shakespeare Festival, as they're about to produce Romeo and Juliet. Sounds very exciting. So let's get right into it after these brief messages. If you love the Inexplicable Dumb Show as much as I do, don't be shy about it. Go ahead and wear your feelings on your sleeve, or at least your chest. Head on over to our Cafe Press store and wear your support for the IDS proudly. www.cafepress.com/dumbshow.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet. Yet I ask you to take time
to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play, in the gutter, of course.
Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's time once again for some deep fried theater!
I've got Denise Hicks, the artistic director of the Nashville Shakespeare Festival, with me today. So, hey, Denise, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. So you've got this little thing in the park coming up, Romeo and Juliet. So, yay! Why don't you tell me a little bit about it?
Well, I'm really excited about this year. We started doing Shakespeare in the Park in 1988. So, you know, we're sort of coming into a maturity that we're really, really enjoying right now. We are expecting close to 15,000 people to show up to see this Romeo and Juliet over the 5 weeks of its run, starting August 18th. We're closed September 18th, 5 weekends, Thursday through Sunday evenings, plus Labor Day Monday. So I'm really excited about just the event that it is. People count on this tradition. They plan on it. They bring their children. They bring their dogs. And I'm really, really excited about it.
So now, I mean, you said how many years? 20-some?
Yeah.
So you're getting into the generational thing. Like, my wife's cousin is a teacher, and she the other day talked about how students she taught were now, you know, she's been teaching so long that they're bringing their kids back to, you know, she's teaching their kids and stuff. And so I guess it's like that is that sort of family involvement, I guess, which it really is.
And I get all weepy when I even think about it, because I have talked to some, you know, we have an apprentice company every summer, which is by audition, young people all the way up through and post college age audition to have the featured and supporting roles in the show. And we offer them training as well. And some of those young people say that Shakespeare in the Park is their first memory that they can really remember. We had a little girl who said, or she's not little, she's 20 now, but she said her first memory that she can actually, you know, that she knows is hers, is sitting on a blanket in the park watching A Midsummer Night's Dream. And that is so cool to me. Now, here she is at 20, and she's like, you know, wants to join the board and wants to get more involved in the company as we go on. But it is a generational thing. Traditions like this, like Shakespeare in the Park, are something that create memories that are just invaluable, that you just can't replace. So I've heard so many stories of people who've gotten engaged in the park, or they come to Shakespeare in the Park, you know, they came on their first date and now they've been married for 12 years and they still come, you know, every summer because it's like their own personal tradition. And so it's the event itself. Now I'll talk about Romeo and Juliet. It's going to be a really, really sweet show. It's we're setting it in the late 1800s, like right around the Chicago World's Fair of 1893. And that's primarily because they built a city of white for that city, for that World's Fair, in the middle of a really dark and desperate time in Chicago. So the director, David Wilkerson, saw that there's contrast in the play of dark and light and love and hate. And he really loves how at that time in Chicago, there's this bright, beautiful city of lights lit up by Tesla, of all things, of all people. and you know, and yet the darkness of the play eventually takes over. So it's a really, really beautiful concept for a great play. We have a fabulous cast, awesome production team, and the whole thing about it's going to be probably hopefully a banner year for us.
So why Romeo and Juliet? Was it just its turn in the canon, or was there specific reasons why this play, why now?
Yes, we hadn't done it in over, I guess it was about 7 or 8 years ago, we did a production of it. It's required reading for most ninth graders, and so we really love to align with the teachers and help them keep Shakespeare alive. And seeing a live professional production of one of Shakespeare's plays is a really great way to start studying it. So here we are at the beginning of the school year, and we know all of these students are going to be required to study Romeo and Juliet this year, so we are delighted to offer a free professional production of it. We say it's free, but then we're going to ask for $10 donation just because it's not free.
Right.
You know, we try to pay everybody involved. We do have a lot of volunteers as well, but all of our technicians and actors and front of house people and everybody, you know, we really do try to pay a living wage as we can. So we ask community to pitch in just $10, which is, you know, the cost of two Starbucks drinks or something.
if they're extra small and you're lucky.
Exactly.
Right.
So we chose that. It's also, you know, it's always timely. The story of perfect love in an imperfect world is always relevant, I think. There's always that sense of people who fall in love with someone and you know, the situation is I know that I'm not supposed to be doing this, but this feels right, and so let's go on with it and see what happens. In this case, Shakespeare set us up for a tragedy. We can only hope that not all stories end so tragically.
Yes.
I don't need to be more.
We'll walk away from this. Is this this ended badly, but not all love relationships have to end this poorly, right?
It always messes me when people call this like the greatest love story ever told. I'm like, I think it's the saddest love story ever told. It's a great story and all, but I think there could be happier endings.
Yeah, so we need to look at our priorities again about love stories, right?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because the actors, hopefully the way they play, I mean, we talk about how Shakespeare, how theater is all improv except for the script. So there should be this real sense of spontaneity about what they're doing and how they're playing. And so that hopefully the audience every night will think, well, maybe it's going to end differently this time.
Right.
And the actors certainly never play the end of the play before they get to it. So it's really important to keep it alive in that. And the notion that the entire first half of this play is a comedy is sometimes overlooked, but it's a great, you know, it's a romantic comedy all the way up until Mercutio dies, and then it's not so much fun.
Yeah. Then we have a slight turn. I just remember that, like you said, it's a required reading. I went to high school in Illinois, and in Illinois we had to read it, you know, many, many moons ago. But I gotta be honest, my experience was almost ruined because we had to read it. And then we had to we read it. We watched the Zuccarelli movie.
Yeah.
Which we all then had to, you know, sign our papers to say we could see the little nude parts. And then we had to oh my God, she found our teacher found this will date me a little bit. They found an audio recording of Romeo and Juliet. Played on LP. That was the Royal Shakespeare Company doing an all-male version of Romeo and Juliet. And I don't know, I still to this day, I don't know if the, if it was played at the correct correct speed for the record or not.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was so slow. Everything was, Romeo. It was just like,
yonder window.
Just going on and on. We're like, just go, you know.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, that experience in school, you know, kind of really shaped, obviously, I'm doing theater and stuff. So, it, you know, yeah. it didn't dwarf me. But I just always remember that those listen to those LPs and just going, oh, my God, it's got to get better than this.
Yeah.
And it does.
It really does. We have some gorgeous young people playing. Our Emily Landham, who's playing Juliet, was in our apprentice company several years ago. She went to New York. She got a degree. She worked up there. Yeah, she's home, and we've cast her as Juliet. And she is an extraordinary young actress who is bringing so much humanity and life to the character. That's what makes the difference, I think, is when you take it out of the classroom and you put it on the stage, or even when you take it out of their seats in the classroom, you can bring Shakespeare to life in the classroom, but you got to get up. You got to get
right
out of your seat to do it. So,
right.
So I'm thrilled that we have these beautiful young people. Matt Raish, who's playing Romeo, is a recent Lipscomb graduate, and they're just so talented and so lively and so beautiful. So I think it's going to be really fun to watch them play every night. It's a play, you know. It's meant to be played.
Right. Right. Well, what else we got going on in the Shakespeare Festival? It's a year-round thing. So tell me what else is coming up.
Well, here's what's my baby project is Shakespeare Aloud, that I just had this notion to read all of Shakespeare's plays out loud, all of them, and we're counting 37 of them. I know there's some arguments about whether there's 36 or 38. We're calling it 37. So in October of 2008, we started one play a month out loud at the Downtown Public Library in Nashville. And so here it comes. We've been doing it once a month, every single month, for the last 3 years. And now, come this November, we will read number 37 and complete the canon. So I'm so excited about this. It's completely open to the public, so it's a community read. We sit around the table. Each person just reads the next speech, so you don't, there's no, you know, casting, and not one person gets to read all of the great speeches or whatever. We just go round in a round robin style reading circle, and it's just been an amazing project. So amazing, in fact, that we're in January 2012, we're going to start back at the beginning.
Wow.
Start over again and read Henry VI Part 1, and then in February, Henry VI Part 2. And he's going for another 3 years. There's about 25, 35, 40 people that gather every month. And so this November, you know, there's a couple dozen folks in this area that are going to be able to say, I have read all of Shakespeare's plays. So I love that project. It's the first Saturday of almost every month. Sometimes in July, if the fourth falls, two plays to the Saturday, we'll bump it to the second one. But it's just about the first Saturday of every month. We read one Shakespeare play out loud. So that's something. There's information on our website about it. We always list what the play is for each month, and it's a noon start time there in the library. But I love that project, and I'm really, really excited that we will have completed the canon once and we'll start over again in January. Then we have our winter Shakespeare coming up in January 2012 at the Belmont University Trout Theater. It'll be Julius Caesar. And this is the first time we're doing Caesar since 1996, so it's been quite a while. It'll be the first time that we've done it indoors, and I'm really excited about that. I think it's going to be, again, we're sort of aligning with the curriculum, the required curriculum. We're offering 10 a.m. matinees to students and workshop. Professional teaching artists will go into classrooms to prepare students to come see this production, and that's just, you know, something that we get all excited about. We just love the combination of education and entertainment, and Everything educational we do is entertaining, and everything entertaining we do is educational.
There you go.
I'm all excited about Caesar coming up this winter.
Sounds like a lot of fun. So let's give me the Romeo and Juliet dates again.
Yes. Romeo and Juliet, the National Shakespeare Festival presents Romeo and Juliet, August 18th through September 18th in Centennial Park at the Bandshell. And our website is nashvilleshakes.org.
Mm-hmm.
nashvilleshakes.org, where, you know, directions and what to bring to the park and to expect. Every night we have a different pre-show entertainment option. So from 6:30 to 7 o'clock, usually it's a songwriter or a local band. Or we have a dance theater of Tennessee is going to be performing. Nashville and Harmony will perform. So it's a really nice little extra half hour of entertainment for all the people who come early to picnic.
Outstanding. Well, thank you so much.
Well, you bet, John. I really appreciate what you guys do, and wish you all the best.
All right. Thank you.
Great.
Bye.
When guests can't appear in studio, they are interviewed over Skype. Skype is a great piece of software that turns your computer into a phone. Talk computer to computer or to any phone or cell phone in the world through the Skype Out program. Interested? Download Skype via inexplicabledumbshow.com. Just look for the Download Skype button. Go ahead. Join in the fun. Hey actors, want to set up a website that is not a Facebook account? Yeah, use your name as your domain name. Check out Dreamhost, it's easy to set up, and because you are a listener of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, you get a special treat. That's right, go to www.dreamhost.com and enter this special code, IDS, all caps. You will receive two domain names with your web hosting package purchased from Dreamhost. But only if you use the promo code IDS. And remember to use all caps on that. Just another way you get buzzed by the Inexplicable Dumb Show.
Hey, I'm usually not this forward, but can I get your number?
Oh my god.
Oh wow.
Is she talking to us?
Dude, I... Yeah.
What do we do?
We'll give her the number.
I can't think of it right now.
It's 615-866-1282.
All right, so I'd like to thank Denise Hicks for joining me today, talking about the Nashville Shakespeare Festival's production of Romeo and Juliet. It's in Centennial Park, beautiful Centennial Park, in downtown Nashville, Tennessee. Check the website for details. If you need any information, you can check their website, or you can get the information at our website at inexplicabledumbshow.com. Hey, we'll see you. Bye.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality wave files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at Magnatune.com. That's Magnatune. Magnatune. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No ease. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY .com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.